want to make a few remarks, but very briefly so that perhaps someone else would have an opportunity. I've been looking at the genre. We all are familiar with the character of Jonathan, his love for David, which never failed. However, we know that Jonathan missed the mind of the Lord, and he didn't leave the comforts of his father's court, Saul. He had the opportunity. The problem with Jonathan was his father. He thought he could change his father, but that was not possible. We often think of Jonathan in connection with failure, and there was a loss in the life of Jonathan that was never regained, and it will be manifest at the judgment seat of Christ. His name is conspicuous by its absence in the list of David's mighty men. But you know, Jonathan was nevertheless a man of faith. Return to 1 Samuel. Just a few thoughts here. 1 Samuel chapter 14. I don't think we'll take time to read the whole passage, but it's a marvelous account of individual faithfulness in a time of great ruin in the testimony. The judges had failed. The priesthood had failed. The king had failed. And Jonathan was a man of faith, and he wanted to please the Lord and to fight the battles of the Lord. But it wasn't an easy time. Many of the Israelites, if you read carefully in the 14th chapter, they got so discouraged that they hid themselves among the Philistines. Some of them went into holes. They were hidden. Have we got brethren that are hidden? They said, what's the use? Things are in such a state of decline. There's no power. We might as well go over to the Philistines. Maybe we'll get something from them. Is that what we're going to do? The Philistines have a peculiar place in Scripture. They were enemies within the land. And they speak, I think, of those who would rob us of our food, our spiritual food. We need to be like Gideon, who threshed that wheat beside the winepress. He was going to have food for his people, though the Midianites had come in like grasshoppers and impoverished the nation. So did the Philistines here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, 13, 19. Now, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. 22. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, there was found. The Philistines were happy to sharpen the agricultural farming instruments. That wasn't a problem. Wasn't it a sad condition that there was no smith that could, no blacksmith in the land of Israel that could sharpen anything? But when they brought the swords and the spears to the Philistines, oh no, we won't sharpen those. So it left them in an awful, impoverished state. They didn't have a sword or a spear. the whole nation except Jonathan and Saul. But Saul didn't know how to use it. And so the Philistines, certainly, we'll sharpen your farming instruments. You can go ahead and produce your crops. We'll come in and take it. That's exactly what the Midianites did in the time of Gideon. They impoverished the land. But Gideon was going to have food, that which was his right. And brethren, we don't need to go down into the camp in order to find food for our souls. This was a day of individual faithfulness. In circumstances that were very difficult, almost impossible, but Jonathan had faith, and he had confidence in God. We read here, came to pass, 14, and Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young men that bear his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. That was a wise thing, you know. Previous to this, Jonathan had 1,000 men, and Saul had 2,000 men. But Saul couldn't use those men. He didn't know how to encounter the Philistines. Jonathan went out with 1,000 men. You read that in the 13th, isn't it? And he won a marvelous victory. But then when Saul saw what had happened, he stepped in and he said that Israel had won a wonderful victory, and he took the credit from Jonathan for the work that he had done. Saul stepped in and took the credit. But Jonathan left that entirely with the Lord. He didn't defend himself. He just left that with the Lord. He has the record straight. But now he was going to go not with 1,000 men. He was going to go single-handed against this host of the Philistines. You'd say it looked like an impossible situation. The Philistines were good fighters. There were thousands of them. And it was a difficult ascent up here, these sharp rocks. It wasn't easy. You know, if you're going to do something for the Lord, Satan will put every roadblock in the way. And if you're going to be faithful, don't expect an easy path. It was more difficult to be a soldier at this time than it was in the times of David. In the times of David, the host of the army went out. It never tells us that David lost a battle. But this was not the time of David's great exploits and success. This was a time of great weakness among the people of God. And but Jonathan was going to have a spear and a sword for himself. And he was going to trust the Lord in this situation. And who did he have behind him? An armor bearer, that's all. Two men. Climbing up this steep rock here between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison. There was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And so on. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of the Philistines, of these sons circumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Yes, he looked back at the wonderful victories of the nation of Israel when they came into the land of Canaan. He knew those examples. He knew that God was able to undertake in this situation. And you know, you may not have the energy of Jonathan here. I don't think that Jonathan had a lot of confidence, because as he was scaling those steep rocks, I think he was just still ready to turn back. And if you look in the 14th chapter, verse 6, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. And his armor bearer 7 said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. I think that Jonathan was becoming afraid now. He was almost ready to turn back. But he had an armor bearer behind him. We don't know his name. But he just gave him that word of encouragement at the time that he needed it. Turn thee, behold, my heart is with thee. Isn't that wonderful? We can be an armor bearer if we're not going to be a soldier in the forefront. You can be an armor bearer. Sisters can do that. I can look back and think of dear sisters gathered to the Lord's name who were real armor bearers and gave me that word of encouragement that I needed just at the time when I was engaged in some conflict. Well, the armor bearer here encouraged Jonathan just at the moment when he needed it. And it's remarkable that when David recounts the mighty men, he mentions Joab's armor bearer, but he doesn't mention Joab himself. But Joab's armor bearer is mentioned. So you know, young people, let's not be like Saul here. Here he was, verse 2 of chapter 14, Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were 600 men. He had 600 men, but he was relaxing and taking his ease under a pomegranate tree. And the Philistines were pressing in upon him, and he didn't have any power to go against them. I think I've often sat under a pomegranate tree when there was a work to be done, whether it be in the gospel, in the ministry, in the assembly, or it may be in the attending, the prayer meeting. I'm sorry to say that sometimes the prayer meeting in my assembly is very poorly attended as compared with other meetings. The prayer meeting is an assembly meeting. The Lord is in the midst in that meeting. Yet sometimes it's neglected. Anyway, we find that Saul had no spiritual power or energy to do anything. He sat there under the pomegranate tree, and Jonathan single-handed climbed up these rocks, and we know how the Lord intervened for him in a marvelous way and gave him a victory. Those Israelites that were hiding among the Philistines, traitors you would say, when they saw the way the battle was going, they came out and joined the ranks. And those that were hidden in the holes because of fear of the Philistines, they rallied and came out. Well, I think that among brethren we have some that are hidden ones too. They just don't have an exercise to be at the meetings, and you wonder whether they're in fellowship or not. So let us, in spite of the weakness that we encounter, let us seek to be faithful in that sphere where the Lord has placed us. One brother was speaking to another brother, and he said, "My, it must have been wonderful in the early days of brethren that I have often read about in the biographies, where there's much spiritual power. When Great numbers were gathered to the Lord's name. When there was teaching ability that we see nothing of now in the same proportion. Intellectual giants that left us so much precious ministry. But you know, I think that it takes more grace to go on day after day, week after week, in that small assembly where you are, where there's not much activity, there's not much of a spiritual energy to do anything, to go on and be faithful to the Lord, be an example, looking after that Sunday school class, or maybe launching out with the gospel where you are. It's wonderful to be together like we are this weekend and have the encouragement one with the other, but we're going back to assemblies to find the situation the same as when we left. Are we going to have the spiritual energy to go on? Or are we going to give up and say there's nothing being done here? Let's go down to the Philistines where there's some activity. Are we going to drift back to the camp? If I build again the things that once I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Haggai was one who stirred up the people to get away from their sealed houses, spending all their energy in preparing beautiful residences for themselves and leaving the house of God in an unfinished condition, thinking of their own things and forgetting or neglecting the house of God. What did Paul say to Archippus? Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Jeremiah says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord negligently. We put a lot of effort into secular things. We're in the chapter 12 of Romans. Not lazy in business. That's not the correct translation there. As to diligent zealousness, having the energy. It's not a question of secular work there, but it's the Lord's work, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Well, just a few thoughts, brethren. This was a day of small things and a day of much weakness. 23, so the Lord saved Israel that day. What a wonderful victory he accomplished. And if there's a victory in our lives in any measure, let us get back to Gilgal and own that it was all the grace of God. It wasn't our power. So it says in the 23rd verse, the Lord saved Israel that day and the battle passed over unto Beth-horon. Oh yes. You know, the Philistines, the spoilers came out in two or three regions. They were all around. But you think after this wonderful victory of Jonathan, it would be all over. No. There's going to be a struggle yet. The battle passed over unto Beth-horon. We're still going to have to meet conflict and that which would discourage us. You know, when Peter made that bright confession of the Lord in John chapter 6, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You might have wondered why the Lord responded to him the way he did. He didn't say, I would have said, Peter, that's a lovely confession you made. Wonderful. Thank you, reverently speaking. The Lord didn't say that. He said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? In other words, he said, Peter, if you're looking at me, don't look at others, because there's another disappointment ahead. Well, those of us who are older have seen a lot of disappointments among the gathered saints. And the battle is not over yet. Until the Lord comes, Satan will oppose more than anything the truth of being gathered outside the systems of men to his precious name, to give the Spirit of God his rightful place and the Lord his rightful place. And if we want to have a sword and a spear and food, we can have it. But we've got to put forth the energy. We can't be sitting under the pomegranate tree like Saul did here, when there's a battle ahead of us and there's a work to be done. We think of the gospel in the vast fields right here in Canada now, to reach every nationality you could mention. Oh, may the Lord help us to continue on in the things which thou hast learned. As we go back to our home meetings, where there might be only two or three, may we count upon the Lord in that day of weakness, that there is no restraint for him to save by many or by few. He is the same. He is the same. And we can enjoy the Lord potentially as much as the Apostle Paul did in this day of weakness. May the Lord bless his word to us.
Thank you, Gavin, number 166. Lord, thou hast drawn us after thee, now let us run, never tired. Thy presence shall our comfort be, thyself our hope, our sole desire. Present Savior, while nor fear, nor sin can come, as thou art near, number 166.
Lord, thou hast drawn us after thee, now let us run. Never will.
Pray. Loving God and our Father, we do thank Thee for the encouragement of the Scriptures. And so we do feel our hearts encouraged, and we just pray that Thou preserve and keep us in dependence upon Thyself. We thank Thee for the hope of the Lord Jesus soon return for us. That day will come when all evil will be restrained, Satan's power, and our Lord will reign alone in righteousness. But till He comes, we know we have a warfare ourselves. We need to be in the Word to learn the doctrines of Scripture that our practical path might be conformed to Thy Word and honoring and pleasing to Thee, that we might know what it is we are to defend and uphold. And we just pray that each one of us might have that sword of the Spirit in our hands as we go on the path waiting for the Lord's coming, and to encourage one another to go on, to go forward. And so we do pray that we might each be able to take up that place of the armor bearer to encourage one another. And so we just commit this little time we've had to Thee, and should we be left here the remainder of the day, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.